Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Why? Because he gives you life. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Now, does that say manage? Now, manage the mistakes you've been making. That's not what it says, is it? What does it say? It says put to death. Kill that thing, man. Did you know that if there's a rattlesnake in your backyard and you cut its head off, pretty violent, did you know that the head of the rattlesnake can live for over an hour? There was a story recently of a man who did that in his backyard. He went to dispose of the 40 minutes later for some reason. I think he killed it and had to go, you know, talk to his counselor and then come back and dispose of the rattlesnake head, and it bit him and he almost died. You got to watch out for those things. How many of you know that sometimes in life, things that are supposed to be dead can come back and bite you? How many know that's true? They can just come right back and bite you. One of those things specifically is called sin. Everybody say sin. Sin. We're in our series this morning called Make It Make Sense, and we're going to make some sense of sin today if we can, and we're going to talk about it because sometimes those things come back up and bite you, and you maybe in your life you could recognize that because you maybe have a sin in your life or something in your life, and you just seem like, man, I feel like I cut the head off that thing, but it just keeps coming back and biting me. And I just can't seem to get rid of it, and it drives me crazy. Maybe you know that because you know Christ. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ, and you don't know what that means. And when I talk about sin, I'm not talking about a mistake. I want to make a real clear difference between a mistake. A mistake is you spill your soda at the dinner table when you're having dinner with friends, and you spill it all over. That's a mistake. A mistake is dropping an egg while you're making cookies, and you drop it on the ground and you crack it everywhere. That's a mistake. A mistake is spelling "you're right" in a sentence. Or I should say wrong. A mistake is not sin. Sin is a completely different thing because it's not a whoopsie-daisy thing. Sin means to miss the mark. It means we miss the mark, and not just any mark, we miss God's mark. God's mark of holiness, God's mark of righteousness, God's mark of perfection, that's what sin means. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, says, for everyone has sinned. How many people have sinned? Everyone. And we've all fallen short of God's glorious standard. We've all missed the mark. We've not made it there. The problem that we have sometimes in life is that we make a mark for ourselves, don't we? And we have this thing, well, I'm here. Everybody else is way down here, but I'm making my mark. And if you make your mark, you feel like you're a good person. Like, I'm okay. I haven't made any mistakes today. But a mistake is not the same as sin, because sin is really deliberate and willful disobedience to God's moral law. That's the difference. A lot of people think, man, I'm a good person. But to miss God's mark is to violate his moral law. And God sets the standard. We talked about this, if you're here at Fusion Christian Church just a few weeks ago, we talked about this aspect that if God wasn't real, how would we know what right and wrong is? Because we have a moral lawgiver. His name is God, Jesus Christ. He gives us moral laws. Now we know in our hearts and through his word the difference between right and wrong, what's good and what's evil. And so when we miss that mark, we're violating God's moral law. A lot of people will say, hey, I'm a good person. Who's heard that before? How many have said that about yourself? Just raise your hand. I'm a good person, because we compare ourselves. I'm a good person because I'm not as bad as them. Don't point at them if they're in the church right now. You said that. Not as bad as them. They're sitting in the back row, but I'm closer. A better person. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10, it says, Jesus was asked one time a question, said, hey, good teacher. And Jesus said, why do you call me good? He says, no one's good but God alone. Only God is good. That's a pretty bold statement. So that's not good news for us who think we're good, is it? that kind of pops our bubble right there. We're not as good as we think we are. And as we think about that, I like to do this little test. If you think you're a good person or somebody says to you, hey, I'm a good person, let's just take a little test real quick. Because remember, we're going to make sense of sin for a second, all right? And I just ask you a few questions, and before God Almighty, who sits on the throne above in heaven, answer honestly. Okay? Answer honestly. Have you ever told a lie? There you go. I don't know if I should make you raise your hand for the rest of these. Some of you, it's going to be real embarrassing. Have you ever hated someone? I didn't ask you to raise your hand, but I'm so glad. Some of you are very excited right now. I've got a few people in my head. I'm thinking about them right now. Jesus said if you hate someone in your heart, you're guilty of murder. So you're murdering them in your heart, even though you haven't committed a physical act. You think you're better than a person in prison right now who's guilty of murder, but Jesus says you're not. Okay, let's move on before that one causes people to... Have you ever stolen someone? Something, not someone. Okay, listen. One of our elders just raised his hand. I don't know who have you stole? We need to get some of our off-duty cops to come talk to him right now. I don't know. Have you ever stolen something? Something, let me be, something, okay. Stolen something. The first thing I ever stole in my entire life was little fishing weights. I was 5 years old and I loved to fish and I stole little fishing weights. Well, I didn't make it out of the store. My dad tackled me. Anyway, but that's another story. You ever lusted after someone? Yes. Yes. Have you ever used God's name in vain? Like as a swear word. Jesus Christ. You said all these things, right? So basically, if we just sum it up right now, all those things have to do with God's moral law, right? So basically, what we've confessed now here at church is that we're a bunch of lying, murdering, thieving, lusting blasphemers. So let me ask you one more time. Are you a good person? No. Come on, what? Are you a good person? No. Man. Let's pray and you can go home. See, the Bible says if we claim we don't have sin, 1 John 1:10 says if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out, who God, to be a liar and his word's not in us. Basically, we say, I'm good, I'm so good, I don't need God. We're saying to God, you're lying about my sin, I don't have an issue. And that's the problem. Because we do have an issue. It's called sin. All of us. So I want to make that clear this morning that all of us, I'm not just talking at you, right? I want us to all understand we're in the same boat and we got to figure out how to fix this thing. And maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus and you've not given your life to Jesus and you don't know what it means to unload the burden of sin. And maybe you do know Jesus and you're like, man, I love Jesus with all my heart, but I just still am struggling with this stuff and I just can't seem to get past it. And we ask this question, why do I still struggle with sin? Why is this still a problem in my life? Why is it so difficult to overcome some of these things? And how can I overcome them? Help me to make sense of it. Well, I'm gonna answer this question. I'm gonna give you a few things. I'm hoping you're taking notes today and you're following along. Don't just come to listen, come to learn. And the reason that you still struggle with sin, and some of you habitual sin over and over and over and over again, is because you're at war and you haven't come to terms with it yet. You're at war. You're at war. And wouldn't it be ridiculous to be at war and pretend that you're not? How many know that would be ridiculous? Oh, I'm just in a little conflict right now. I've got a little personal thing going on. I've got a little mistake happening. I've got to deal with this. And we can pretend that the war is not really what it is. It's a war. Everyone say war. This is a big deal. And we're in a war. You're in a very real war against sin in your life. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 7, It says, so the trouble is not with the law, God's moral law is perfect and good. For it's spiritual and good. It says, the trouble is with me. I'm the problem. I'm the issue. For I'm all too human, a slave to sin. I've got this sin problem all the time. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. How many can relate to that? But if I know that I'm what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. I know that my sin is wrong, and so I'm proving that God's right. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this one principle in life, that if I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. But there's another power working within me that is at war with my mind, which is synonymous with your heart, by the way. This power makes me a slave to sin that's still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Everybody say, Who will free me from the life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. How many of you know the struggle is real? This is the Apostle Paul talking right now. He's one of the greatest missionaries that ever walked the planet. God radically changed his life. He loved Jesus Christ, I would say maybe more than many, many of us. And he's like, dude, I don't know what the problem is, but I want to do right, but I struggle and I do wrong and I hate that about myself. I love Jesus, but I'm still battling with this stuff called sin. And I recognize that it's a problem. It's an ongoing war in my life. And it's like, if you can, just think of it. You got this war raging within you. And on one side is the Holy Spirit. It's this new person in Christ, this born-again believer. And the other part is this sinful nature that still wants to take over and kick God out of your life. How do we deal with that? I have to recognize first that I'm in a war. I'm in a battle. And I recognize that my sinful side, my flesh side, it's all the terms that the Bible uses, right? This selfish, wicked side of me wants to live in sin. See, the Bible says in Galatians 5, it says, the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. So I've got this flesh and spiritual side of me that's like this tug of war. Who's going to win? Who's going to win? How do I deal with this sin? Why do I keep dealing with this sin? You've got to recognize, and I want you to recognize this morning, when you get up and you leave here, you are in a war. It's not a conflict. It's not an argument. It's not a tiff. It's nothing like that. You are in war. And the sooner you recognize that, the faster you can get to battle. The other reason you struggle with sin, this is going to be painful for some of you right now. The other reason you continue to struggle with sin is because you like it. Because you like it. This is why a lot of times people don't give up things they know is wrong, is because they like the sin more than they do Jesus. That's a hard truth. I love sleeping around more than I love Jesus. I love my drugs more than I love Jesus. I love my alcohol more than I love Jesus. I love lying more than I love Jesus. I love greed and hoarding and having all my wealth more than I love Jesus. What is it for you? And we do these things, then we excuse them away. It's okay for me to live this way. God will forgive me. It's fine. It's just a little thing. God says, hey, no, sin is a cosmic violation against God's moral law. And all sin is deserving of the full weight of God's wrath. That's how serious we should take it. and recognize that I'm in this war and I need to get to this place where I say, God, I don't like this. Paul said, man, I know what I do is wrong and I hate that. I don't like that about myself. That's where you need to get. This person will recognize, I'm in this conflict all the time. How do I get out of this situation? How do I have victory in this situation? Because the conflict is going to be there for the rest of your life. You're going to have this conflict between that flesh nature and the spiritual new person, born again creation that God is making you into his image on a daily basis. I want to win, baby. I want to win the conflict. How many of you want to win the conflict? So the question is, how can I overcome sin in my life? How can I win the war? How can I overcome? How can I overcome sin in my life? Well, to overcome sin in your life, you must do what every good soldier does when going to war. There are certain things that every good soldier does when they're about to go to war. And I'm going to give you a few of those things today because God gives us this great, these great word pictures to help us understand what it is to fight the battle on an everyday basis. How do you do that? Well, the first thing you know is if you're going to go to war and you're going to fight a battle, you need to get in shape for the battle. How many of you know that's true? If you're not in shape, well, you're in trouble. Right? Right? Like, nuh-uh. I could still run 2 miles. You got to get in shape for the battle. Here's my question to you this morning. Are you in spiritual shape? Are you spiritually getting ready for the war that you're in? Are you honing those spiritual senses? Are you developing those spiritual disciplines? Are you getting in spiritual shape for the war that you are in? We need to be in spiritual shape. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4, it says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. We live in an area where there's a gym like on every corner. It's almost as many gyms as Starbucks. And we go to the gym with our Starbucks. And we'll spend hours at the gym, and we'll read blogs and watch training videos and all this. How am I going to get in shape? I got to get that beach body. And you should be in shape. You should take care of your body. You only get one of them, by the way. But that only has some value, but godliness, training godliness, has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Are you spiritually in shape? Are you doing and practicing the disciplines to get you in spiritual shape to fight the war that you are literally in right now? What are you doing to get in shape? What's your Bible reading like? What's your worship like? What's your serving like? What's your prayer life like? What's your giving like? All of these. What's your faithfulness to God's house like? All of these are spiritual disciplines that get me in spiritual shape to fight the war that I'm already in. The war's not coming. You're in it right now. It's the war against sin. It's the war against the flesh. It's the war against the enemy. So I got to get in spiritual shape. And as I'm getting in spiritual shape, you need to pray over the battle. Everyone say pray. Pray. You need to pray over the battle. Every soldier going into war talks extensively with their commander. When you're prepping to go to war, when you're prepping to go to battle, you know what you do? You talk extensively with the commander. You set a battle plan. How am I going to win this battle? How am I going to win this war? You say, hey, this is the strategy. This is what you need to do. This is how to overcome. This is how to defeat the enemy. And I'm going to talk extensively with the commander. How many of you know we have a commander in chief and his name is Jesus Christ? Jesus told us how to pray, and in that he gave us some orders in going to war. And one of the first things he said in Matthew 6, he said for us to pray, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Stop right there for a second. The first prayer we pray, the first step to victory over sin in our life, over things that continue to come back and bite us, is that we're on our knees before our commander-in-chief and we have a heart of repentance. The first step to victory is a heart of repentance. God, forgive me. I missed the mark. I fell short. I disobeyed your command. I walked in my own way, and I made my own decisions, and I chose not to follow you. I was following myself, and I repent. And that repentance is not just a one-time prayer. It's a lifestyle change where I turn away from that, and I begin to follow in obedience to God's command. That's step one. I talk to the commander first in heart and attitude of repentance. Lord, you are right, and I am wrong. Are you with me so far? He goes on and he says, and don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. The next prayer I make is, God, help me to not fall into temptation. If you want to avoid sin and you want to get rid of sin in your life, if you cut it off, if you cut the head off at temptation, you'll be much closer to victory. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to follow through with that and actually perform that act, right? Whether it's in our mind or heart or physical action. And so I need to deal with it at the temptation stage. That's why God told us to pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Don't let me fall into temptation. I don't want to give into that in my life. Help me to overcome that fleshly desire. I want you to help me. That's where victory starts. How many know temptation is a messy thing? One pastor years ago, he called it a dangerous guest. The dangerous guest in our mind and our hearts called temptation. So the other day, I set my granddaughter on fire. Let me explain. We were at the house, and we have scented candles on the counter, and she likes it when we light them. So I'm holding her, and it's lit there, and she's like, blow out, blow out. I'm like, okay, and her Adela had just given her a bath, and so her hair was all dry, and she has very thin hair, so she leans over to blow out the candle, and I'm holding her, and flames. And so when you see her today at church, and she's bald, don't hate me. The second, I saw the flame, I grabbed her face, and I went like this, and I put the fire out. Like, it was like nanoseconds between all of this. In your mind, it's like, I just let her burn. You're like, what a terrible grandpa. I know. It happened so fast. It happened so fast, right? I'm not allowed to watch the kids anymore, but... But isn't that like temptation? We lean over to take a little peek, a little something too close to the fire, and next thing you know, our life can be raging. This is why we need a Heavenly Father who we say, Lord, keep me from temptation, so when the flame starts, he can grab us and he can put out the flames. God, don't let me fall into temptation. I get ready for the battle by getting in shape. I begin to go to the commander, and I talk extensively with the commander. If you're not talking to the commander, Jesus Christ, you are not on the road to victory. I repent, and lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. And as I'm doing that, I also need to get dressed for the battle. How awkward would it be to go to war? Look how perverted you guys are. How awkward would it be to go to war without the proper equipment? I'm talking about, just how many of you got dressed before you came to church? Thank you very much. Maybe some of you should have got second opinions before you left the house in that outfit. I don't know. But we all got dressed. But are you getting spiritually dressed? Are you getting dressed with the things that you need to get dressed with? How many have heard the term bringing a knife to a gunfight? Okay, now I understand we're in California. I'm a Northwest guy. I grew up in Oregon. I understand this term very well. Well, past Oregon, present-day Oregon, maybe not. But, that's about as political as I get. So I understand we're in California. You might not understand that, you know, bringing a knife to gunfight because maybe you've never been in that scenario. So let me help you put it in a term that you would understand. How awkward would it be, right, to go to battle without being dressed appropriately? That's like taking a paper straw to a latte drinking contest. Did that help you? Yeah, you get it? Like, oh, that's the worst. I hate paper straws. From the devil. Just not going to work out well, is it? Not going to work out well. So we need to be dressed for the battle. We need to be ready to go to war. Listen, the war's not coming one day. You're in it now. You're in the fight now. It's time to get ready for battle. The Bible says in Ephesians, it says, put on the full armor. Everyone say full. The full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. I'm taking my stand against his scheme. He tries to snare me up and trip me up and get me into temptation and he tries to light my whole life on fire. But no, I'm fully armed and I'm fully equipped with the armor of God so I can take my stand. Why? Because our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against authorities and against powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand. We've got to put on the full armor of God. Now listen, let me just help you with something. Because sometimes we think, okay, we read that and we're wrestling against principalities and powers and the rulers of this present age, yeah. The devil can't make you do anything that you're not willing to do. So you can't go to God and say, oh, the devil made me do it. But if you're not dressed for battle, he can sure beat you into submission. You got to be dressed for battle. You got to be ready to go. When the day of evil comes. Do you know when the day of evil is? Today. Today. It's not some time in the future. Today is the day of evil. Evil's all around us. Evil's in your mind. It's in your heart. It's that fleshly nature that wants to take over and wants you to be disobedient to God's commands. It wants you to rebel against Jesus Christ. It wants you to live life for yourself and for your pleasure. The day of evil is right now. So I've got to be dressed for battle. And if you want to learn more how to do that, go finish reading the book of Ephesians. It talks about taking on everything, the helmet of salvation, right? My feet shod with peace, the breastplate of righteousness. I got the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. I'm ready to go. You got to be dressed for battle. Otherwise, it's going to be really hard to win. Now notice, these are all spiritual weapons. We need the Holy Spirit power in our life to help us overcome these things and to help us deal with these things so that we might have the victory. And oftentimes we continue struggling with sin, it's because we forgot to get dressed for war. And so when we're dressed for war, if I could just add this, if we're dressed for war, I do everything possible to eliminate the potential for the temptation and the sin in my life. I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, man, I'm really struggling with drinking and I've got a problem. And then, you know, there's obviously programs that can help them. And then one of the first things I say to them, obviously, I need to give that to the Lord God. I repent of that, and I'm given to drunkenness, and I know that's wrong, and I need to turn from that. And they know in their heart that it's wrong. And so I say, okay, we need to do this. Let's pray. Let's start giving it to the Lord. And then you know what I tell them? Some practical things. I want you to go home today, and I want you to dump it all out. I'm eliminating everything. You got a problem with porn? Guess what? If you don't have a blocker on your phone and on your computer and every single place that you possibly can, you're not dressed for battle. What are you doing? If you got a problem with greed and you're not giving, you're not dressed for battle. You see, the spiritual application also has practical application. These spiritual things produce practical results in my life. I'm going to do everything in my life to avoid the temptation and the sin. What do I need to eliminate in my life right now that's causing me to stumble, that the enemy's using as a tool, a weapon, to get inside my guard and destroy my life? I need to overcome these things, and I overcome them with spiritual weapons that God has given me. He's given us everything we need for victory. And as I'm dressed for battle, I also recognize that to overcome sin, I need to fight sin to the death. To the death. We've become a very big MMA culture. And I'm so thankful that those matches aren't to the death, because that would be pretty brutal. But just recognize sin for what it really is, and our struggle against it, that we are very much in a death match. This is to the death, baby. And sin is trying to destroy you, not only in this life, but also in the life to come, so that you might experience what Jesus called the second death, which is separation from him in a place called hell. This is a very serious war. This is a very serious battle, and we're fighting to the death. Someone is going to die. And it's either you or the sin that lives in you. Which one is it going to be? You see, what we need to recognize about sin isn't something to manage, it's something to kill. See, oftentimes we think about sin, well, I'm kind of managing this. I got this little mistake, I got this little problem, this little issue on the side, and we feel like we got to manage it. Okay, well, if I just, you know, I'll just do it once a month. We kind of manage it, right? That's not how God puts it. God says it's something that needs to be killed in your life. Immorality needs to be killed in your life. Lying needs to be killed in your life. You got a problem with lying? Lying needs to be killed. Greed needs to be killed. You name it, whatever. All these things need to be killed, and it's something that we don't manage. Someone recently told me about a friend of theirs who had some sort of heart issue. I don't remember all the details, but I'm going to make it up. Something had happened in their heart, and they had like flatlined and stopped breathing like 3 or 4 times, and they had come back to life. You know, they were able to resuscitate them, right? And that's awesome. You hear about that. And you're always like, yes, they came back to life. They didn't die. How many are talking about? And you're pumped. They didn't die. Woo! No one ever says or celebrates, man, they were alive, but they went back to death. They woke up 4 times, but man, 4 times they went right back to death. Isn't that so awesome? Who would do that? No one would do that. No one would do that. Right? Because the truth is, to go back to sin after surrendering your life to Jesus is to go back to death. That's what it is. When you go back to a life of sin and a life of disobedience to God's law and God's commands, it is to go back to death. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Why? Because he gives you life. So, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Now, does that say manage? Now, manage the mistakes you've been making. That's not what it says, is it? What does it say? It says put to death. Kill that thing, man. Get it out of your life. Stop messing around with fire. Put it to death. It doesn't belong in the life of the believer. It says, have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, what? The anger of God, the wrath of God is coming. You used to do these things in your life, when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to what? Get rid of it. Anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Get it out of your life. Kill it. It needs to be done. No more. It's a death match. It's a death match. Jesus came that you may have life and have life more abundantly. I was at a funeral once, and the guy walked in front of me, and he actually fell into the grave. That's not exciting. I mean, who would be excited about that? Imagine when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and he said, open the tomb. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes out to the edge, and he's got his bandages. He's like, dude, I'm going back. How ridiculous would that be? Because the truth is, to return to sin after surrendering to Jesus is like walking back into the grave that he already pulled you out of. So I don't want to have that as part of my life anymore. Romans 6 says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. It's dead in my life. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? My old person is dead, and I've now come to a new life in Jesus Christ. I have been born again, a new creation in him. That's not part of my life anymore. Not part of my life. How do you overcome sin? The last thing I want to tell you is you need to fight with the power that only Jesus can give. This is where the true strength comes from, is the power from the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2 says that once you were dead because of your disobedience and many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. Some of you don't know that that's what sin is, obedience to the devil. The commander of the power in the unseen world, he is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passions and desires and inclinations of the sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's wrath just like everyone else. But God, so rich in mercy, he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by grace that you have been saved. I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I say, okay, God, I need you to change me. I need your power because I'm not able to do these things without you. Raise me back to life. Give me a new life in Jesus Christ. Help me to overcome sin. I repent of my sin. I turn to you. I'm getting physically ready. I'm getting spiritually ready. I'm putting on the armor of God. I'm talking to the commander. I'm saying, God, help me to do these things. I'm fighting to the death here, and I need your life to help me win. I need to let the Holy Spirit guide your life. God, give me guidance. Give me direction. Give me understanding. Help me to know which direction to turn. The Bible says in Galatians, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Let it guide your life. You see, for the Christian, understand this. You don't fight necessarily for victory, although God gives us victory every day. You're really fighting from a place of victory. See, in Christ, you've already won the victory. Not because of anything you did, but because of everything that he did. And the sin that we struggle with is the sin that we let in. We let it take ground that already belonged to Christ. That's why we continue to struggle. That's why you struggle with habitual sin. That's why you keep going back to the death. You keep walking back to the grave. Keep walking back to the grave. Keep walking back to the grave. But Jesus came so that you might have life. A life free from the power of sin and death, which he defeated on the cross when he rose from the grave.